Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
Then put your little hand in mine. There ain't no hill or mountain we can't climb.
I think there's something wrong with my alarm clock radio. Same every day.
I got you.
Today seems like yesterday.
I got you.
Yesterday seemed like the weekend.
I got you. Hold my hand. I got you.
All right, that's enough. I got to throw this thing out. It's 10 after 8, and here's Dean Richards.
Wow.
Hi, Dean.
Look at you, Radio Theater.
Well, it does seem like Groundhog Day around here every day, doesn't it?
Oh, my gosh. It's unbelievable.
Radio Theater.
Just remembering, you know, just remembering the good old days when you could stand 2 feet away from somebody or shake hands with someone.
Yeah, and we had fests on the calendar, and now I know you have some news from the city. Just about everything is either delayed or canceled, isn't it?
Certainly for the month of May. That's definitely the case. The city will make an official announcement a little bit later on today that Gospel Fest will be canceled this year. Blues Fest will be canceled this year. The House Music Conference and Festival canceled, and the Memorial Day Parade and wreath-laying ceremony all will be canceled this year. The mayor says, you know, these are difficult but necessary steps to take. Instead, they're going to be doing some digital content and virtual concerts on Sundays on Instagram Live and on Facebook. The big question is, for the city at least, Taste of Chicago, Air and Water Show, Jazz Fest is a pretty big deal. Those are not, you know, until July, August, September. And they say that they will be making announcements at least 2 months prior to the scheduled dates. So they're doing one of those wait-and-see attitudes like Lollapalooza is doing on those that come later in the summer. But the May events, the City of Chicago events, definitely canceled.
Yeah, no surprise there. Have you heard anything from Ravinia?
Have not. I have not. The last I heard from them was the day they announced their schedule, which was the day that the shutdowns began, which was they get the award for the weirdest timing of anything this year.
Well, they're tied with Chicago Magazine that had, not the issue, that just came out, I think, like yesterday. It was just mailed out yesterday. But right before that, their issue was, I think the cover was Best New Restaurants.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yep.
That's a good reminder. I'm going to call them today. I haven't talked to them in a while because their first major concerts are at the beginning of June, so we're kind of getting a little bit close to that to see what their plans are.
For Ravinia, right. All right. I know you'll let us know on that. Okay, let's see what we have in the quarantainment department with music online. What's the latest, Dean?
Well, the probably the biggest quarantainment performance that we have for today is Adam Lambert and Queen. Adam Lambert has been touring with the surviving members of Queen, going around the country and putting on shows. But they did a quarantine performance like everybody else is doing. And they did a new version of We Are the Champions. So check this out.
I've paid my dues time after time. I said, we committed no crime.
Sounds good.
See what they did there. They did a You Are the Champions for solidarity during the pandemic. But Adam Lambert, his voice is amazing.
It really is.
He sounds so great. Whereas on the other hand, if you want to watch the video, this is on Brian May's Instagram page, if you want to see this. But Brian May and Roger Taylor, who are two of the originals from Queen, both seem to be performing without pants on. So be aware of that. I'm not saying they're, like, you know, in their underwear or worse, but they, when they're, you know, he's sitting at a drum set and he clearly has nothing on.
You can't be doing that now. Oh, well.
We all have to have our isolation in our own ways, I guess.
Yes, we do. We've been talking this morning about the ratings for The Last Dance. No surprise, they were hot.
Yeah, 6.3 million people on Sunday night watched the first hour of The Last Dance, and then in the second hour it went down to 5.8 million, but still, these were the two most viewed original content broadcasts on ESPN since 2004. So huge, huge ratings for all of this. Anyone want to take a guess what city had the largest audience?
Gee, I wonder.
Yeah, wonder what that could be. It was everybody was looking at their hometown hero and reminiscing on those good old days. City of Chicago, top city in America for all of that.
It doubles.
Continues. Sunday night, it will continue on ESPN. And I guess ESPN is the dirty version, and ESPN2 is the clean version.
Yeah, I don't know that the executives at ESPN are referring to the dirty version and the clean version, but you got that basically right.
I was surprised to hear some of Michael. I mean, I guess. I was surprised.
Hey, it's a locker room. It's athletes.
I know. But Michael Jordan was so squeaky clean and everything he projected, and then dropping a few of those bombs in there. It's like, whoa.
He was human after all.
He talks like the rest of us. What do you know?
Speaking of sports, interesting story about J-Lo and A-Rod and baseball coming up with Dean Richards. That and more after a quick break.
Hello, Americans. This is Paul Harvey.
I think radio is the ultimate visual medium. There is nothing anybody can do on that flat two-dimension screen that compares to the phenomenal pictures that are painted by your mind's eye, stimulated by our beautiful language.
Paul Harvey's Rest of the Story returns to WGN Radio Monday morning, April 27th.
I have made up my mind to go on forever.
With Bob Surratt.
720 WGN.
Good day.
Back with Dean Richards. So why would J-Lo and A-Rod want to buy a baseball team, Dean?
I can see why A-Rod would want to own a team. I guess that makes sense. But you combine his financial power with her financial power. Combined, they are worth $700 million. And they have retained J.P. Morgan Chase to help raise even more capital for a possible bid on becoming the new owners of the New York Mets. That's where it stands right now. So, I mean, that would certainly be an interesting ownership change.
Yeah, I wonder if the sale price is depressed right now. Probably not, I guess.
There was a deal to sell the team not too long ago. It fell through, but at the time, the franchise was worth $2.6 billion.
Wow.
Is that a lot? That seems like a lot of money to me.
Yeah, and right now they're losing some money, so maybe they want some cash fast. Let's talk about Willie Nelson. It dawned on me after the day was over yesterday that it was 4:20.
Sure,
that's Willie's day.
Sure it did. Sure you didn't know till later on in the day. Same thing with me. I started seeing posts all over the social media, and Snoop Dogg was making appearances on nearly every show from his own kind of quarantine that he lives in all of the time anyway. But yeah, it's the unofficial marijuana holiday, 420. So Willie Nelson, who Snoop Dogg has said is the only person who can smoke him under the table. I guess that's a compliment. But Willie Nelson put on a 420 variety show for people who also wanted to celebrate the weed. Casey Musgraves was on it. Toby Keith, Winona Judd, Ziggy Marley, they all came and sang songs on this show that was called Come Toke on It. It started at 4:20 in the afternoon yesterday, Chicago time. The show itself lasted for 4 hours and 20 minutes. Matthew McConaughey was on it, Kevin Smith, Tommy Chong, not a huge surprise, was also part of it. And also part of it was to celebrate Willie Nelson's 87th birthday, which will be Wednesday. Hmm. Wednesday will be his 87th birthday.
Well, anybody who has ever interviewed Willie knows he likes to conduct interviews in his trailer.
Yes.
And you get kind of a contact high whenever that happens.
When I've done it, I always bring my own Fritos.
Yeah, you have to.
Yep.
Seth Rogen wasn't invited to that party.
I don't know how he must. How does he not get invited to that? He's one of the leading spokespeople for it as well.
Maybe he had his own party. Who is the Green Acres actor who passed away?
From the TV show Green Acres, the farmhand, kind of the dopey, clueless farmhand, Ebb, was his name. But in real life, he was Tom Lester. He was actually, get this story, he was in medical school on his way to becoming a doctor when he heard about this audition that was taking place. Just for kicks, he went and auditioned for the role of Ebb, which was only supposed to be a couple of episodes. And he got the part, and his role became so popular on the classic comedy Green Acres that he quit medical school. Boy, his parents must have been so proud of that. He quits medical school, becomes Ebb Dawson on the comedy, and has been it ran for 6 seasons, amazingly so, and has been in rerun heaven ever since then. But Tom Lester was 81 years old, and he died from complications of Parkinson's disease. So that means that all of the major characters now on Green Acres have all passed away.
Mm, sad. And quite a story of his life. I didn't know that. Let's get to the apology of the day that belongs to Josh Brolin.
Yes.
What did he do?
Yes. Well, Josh Brolin, I never knew this, lives next door to his dad and his stepmother. His dad, of course, is the actor James Brolin. His stepmother is Barbara Streisand. They live right next door to them, and they've been exercising social isolation. Josh Brolin and his new wife have a 1-year-old little baby. So the plan was over the weekend, for them to see each other at a safe distance. Things got away from James Brolin, or Josh Brolin, got away from Josh Brolin, and his family, and especially his 1-year-old, were hugging and, exercising what you're not supposed to be doing right now to be safe. So Josh Brolin went on his Instagram yesterday and issued like a 3-minute apology, saying that he feels very strongly that we have to follow all of the safe distancing, and that we should do what we can to kind of bring this all to an end as quickly as possible. And it just got away from him, and he was seemingly just beside himself on this, apologizing and saying that he's sorry, that his full intention was to keep everything safe, but just sometimes things happen. So, I give him credit for apologizing.
Yeah.
And I got to say as well, when this was first starting, the natural inclination when you see somebody, you put your hand out to shake hands with them.
Mm-hmm.
And, sometimes you do and sometimes you don't. Now, I think after a month, I have pretty much gotten away from all of that. But I can understand where things would get away. And especially if you have a little, a little baby that's running around, it's difficult to keep track. But you have to. That's how the virus is spread.
Yeah, for a while there, if you didn't want to shake somebody's hand, you'd run into people who were extending theirs, and then it was very awkward. But now Nobody's doing that.
Right. Yeah, some people are still doing the elbows.
Yeah.
And I think I'm going to be pretty fine. Even once this is over, I don't really need to touch anybody. I don't think.
Well, I found that the bow is very nice. It's
the
graceful.
The bow is very graceful.
Classy.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm digging that.
Completely agree.
Have you been watching Sopranos? A lot of people are sort of binging on that again. That's one of those shows I can just watch over and over again. And apparently there's a podcast that Michael Imperioli and Steve Sharippa are doing with new episodes every Monday. I'm not a big podcast guy. I'm just confused. There's too many of them. My head explodes, so I tend not to check out any of them. But I may want to check out Talking Sopranos. Have you heard anything about this at all, Dean?
Only that it's really fun. I've caught an episode or two because I was also a big fan of the show. The more gruesome, the more outrageous, the more delightful.
Yeah, it was fun.
And really, when you think about, you know, Sopranos, now how people watch television is so different. And it was really the Sopranos and that Sunday night lineup on HBO that got people away from conventional television watching on the three major networks over the air and brought people over to HBO to watch The Sopranos. And Sex and the City was a big deal on Sunday nights back then as well. So I do enjoy watching those. I've heard about this podcast. I have heard that it's fun, kind of brings back all the memories. But I kind of agree with you, Bob. To me, listening to people talk over a speaker should be done the way that God intended on AM radio.
I'll second that.
Right.
Yeah, and you're right. That did start it all. And also, remember, not too long ago, actors were sort of reluctant to do television.
Right.
Sopranos changed everything. It's what was their line? It's not TV, it's HBO.
Right. Yeah, that's so true now. And, you know, where the biggest movie stars in the world, the biggest Academy Award winners in the world, they're falling all over each other trying to do television projects, mostly for Netflix now, but Amazon Prime and HBO. HBO, by the way, this morning, just a couple of minutes ago, announced the launch date for HBO Max, which is going to be their new online platform, and that's going to be launching on May 27th with all kinds of original programs and first run movies. So they want to, you know, compete a little more head to head with Netflix. So that's going to be May 27th.
HBO Max, so is that going to cost us more money?
You bet it is.
Of course.
I don't have the dollars in front of me, but yes, this is a very definite pay. That's the other thing that's different from commercial TV.
Yes, it is. Dean Richards, more from you tomorrow, sir.
See you then.
Thank you.